This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen along with you. Human enterovirus D68, the virus that swept across Colorado and sent nearly 1,000 children to the hospital, is expected to become a nationwide problem and has already shown up in our region. And here with more on this is Dr. Yana Shaw. She's Associate Professor of Pediatrics, specializing in infectious diseases at Upstate's Golisano Children's Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Shaw. Thanks for coming in.
Hello.
So this virus seems to be sweeping the country right now, and we've seen cases right here in central New York. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a virus that belongs to a large family of enteroviruses. It is a virus that rarely circulates in the United States. However, it is not a new virus. We don't believe this is a mutated or a new virus that emerged. In fact, CDC has sequenced this virus and confirmed that the virus appeared to be identical to the virus that was associated with outbreaks in the United States in the past.
How long ago was it the last time? I mean, do you have any sense of the last time this enterovirus, because you said it's been rare in the United States.
Correct. Initially, it was identified in 1962 in California, where four children with bronchiolitis came down with unexplained respiratory illness. And since then, it has been associated with rare outbreaks in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and the most recent one, I believe, was in 2009, 2010.
So how do we know? I mean, has it been conclusively identified, this particular outbreak, as enterovirus D68?
Yes, it has. Yeah, particularly in our area, we have sent our specimens to the Department of Health, to the Wadsworth Lab, where the virus was sequenced and confirmed to be D68.
So what exactly are enteroviruses? It strikes me when we say entero, it almost sounds like it should be affecting the gastrointestinal system, but this is very different. This is much more of the respiratory type of symptoms. So tell us about what do we mean when we say enteroviruses?
So enteroviruses are a large family of viruses. There are over 100 different types of those viruses. They are RNA viruses and they are non-enveloped.
You say non-enveloped, can you make that understandable to the general public?
They do not have a cover on them. And what it means is that these viruses can actually cause a variety of different symptoms. And in fact, you are correct that some of them can infect a gastrointestinal tract, although the name comes from the fact that many of them can easily live and can be identified from the GI tract, not necessarily that they cause infection and attack that site. In fact, we know that a number of the enteroviruses cause infections in the brain, such as meningitis. They can cause pink eye. They can cause other respiratory infections, such as cold, hand-foot-mouth disease, infection in the mouth, and some of them can go into the heart. This particular virus that has been identified with the outbreak in the U.S. appears to affect primarily respiratory tract, and especially children who have underlying asthma.
So it's related to the rhinovirus, the common cold, is what you said, and the respiratory illnesses that we're seeing are seemingly a more severe version of what would be a common cold?
Correct. So what we are seeing is a number of children being admitted with this virus, and some of the
admitted to the hospital,
and some of the children require ICU intensive care unit support. What we do not know, though, what proportion of the population is actually infected. And I think as we learn more about this virus, we may recognize that the spectrum of the disease with this virus is much broader than what we have appreciated during this outbreak.
What do you mean when you say the spectrum of the disease? Do you mean many, many more people are infected but maybe not getting quite as ill?
That's exactly what I was getting to. I do believe that actually a larger proportion proportion of people or children is infected, and they simply have just mild symptoms, maybe of some body aches or even just feeling tired, maybe having little congestions, and never require any medical attention. And then there will be few children who need to go to the doctor and be diagnosed with cold or viral syndrome and be sent home.
Does this enterovirus also affect adults? Because most of what we've been hearing about are children.
Correct. So the outbreaks have been associated with children of young age. We do not have any documented cases of adults infected with this virus. However, there's no reason to believe that adults have not been infected. It's possible they just have an immunity and they do not manifest any symptoms.
So how serious can it get? I mean, you've alluded to the fact, and for whom? I mean, who are the ones who are going to be most seriously affected, and how serious can it get?
The infection can be as severe as leading to respiratory failure, meaning a small proportion of children did end up in ICUs requiring respiratory support, either continuous oxygen supplementation or even intubation to help them to breathe.
Is it ever life-threatening?
It can be life-threatening, but we had, fortunately, no reported deaths associated with this infection.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pediatrician and infectious disease specialist Dr. Yana Shaw. We're talking about the new enterovirus that's sweeping the country, that's HE68. So I understand that the first cases were in Colorado in August. That was originally reported, but it's been spread to at least 9 other states and now New York as well. I mean, Missouri, Kansas, Illinois, Kentucky, a whole range of them. Do we worry about this becoming an epidemic?
Yes, we do. Yes, the virus has spread to Northeast now, and it's likely this will become epidemic. This virus is likely very contagious and seems to affect children. And children, as you know, usually attend schools, so they spend prolonged period of times together. They do exchange not only their experiences, but also their germs and, viruses. So it's likely to spread and become an epidemic.
What are we doing in our area to prepare for this in terms of any kind of preparedness, whether it's with individual practices in the community or the hospital, the Golisano Children's Hospital?
The Golisano Children's Hospital has been in the forefront of mobilizing the hospital, not only personnel, making sure we have enough nurses and providers, but we have also allocated extra beds and units that will accommodate for overflow of children who require hospitalization for this illness. In addition, we have been very active in community outreach, educating providers and public about this infection and what to expect.
How do you recognize it? Let's say you're at home, you have a child who comes home, and as you said, may have mild aches, that kind of thing. Is that the beginning of what then could progress to something more severe? And should you be more concerned if your child has some underlying conditions like asthma?
Yes, so the illness can start as a simple cold and then progress. However, I would caution parents not to feel that all colds need to go to their doctors or they should bring their children to emergency departments. Me as a parent and as a physician, I would start worrying when my child is having trouble breathing. So, for example, if your child does have asthma, make sure that your child is taking all prescribed asthma medication. And if he or she develops any trouble breathing, labored breathing, painful breathing, fast breathing, that would be a good time to call your doctor and seek further guidance.
So what exactly is being done for treatment? I understand it varies. In other words, is there treatment that's applied when a child isn't as severe? Are there treatments that are offered? And then, of course, what's happening when a child is actually in either an ICU or when, you know, when the symptoms are really very severe.
So we have no interventions sort of to prevent this from early cold into more serious illness. There are no antivirals available, and antibiotics are not effective for this. It is a viral infection. But what we do once children get admitted, most of them require bronchodilators, which is medication that helps them open up the lungs and breathe. We offer supplemental oxygen, and some children require steroids.
So it basically, you're doing supportive services while the virus runs its course, so to speak, and the body's own immune system fights it off.
That's exactly what's being done. Correct.
So what can people expect? How long does the virus usually, you know, what is the course of the illness?
So in general, and we can already speak from our own personal experience here at Golisana Hospital, since we had a number of children. In general, the children require a short hospitalization, couple of days, and they are being discharged to home with their breathing medications. So in general, it appears to be uncomplicated admission and a short hospitalization.
Does it mean if you contract this enterovirus, does it mean that you've developed that, and let's say you then survive it, clearly, does it mean that you have an immunity, a natural immunity that will develop to it, or are you still susceptible to catching it another time?
So it would seem logical that you do develop immunity along, as that's the natural body's response to infection. However, we have no data that would assess that problem, and we also don't know how long people are protected for.
Right. What would you recommend? And you made some recommendations in terms of what parents should be on the lookout for, but are there preventive measures that we could be taking?
Yes.
In the community, or as you mentioned before, within schools, what could parents mm-hmm. do at home? What is your recommendation?
So exercising good hand hygiene
washing hands
for 20 seconds using soap and water. If available, alcohol-based hand rubs can be either supplemented or in replacement of hand washing if you don't have a sink available. In addition, exercising a good cough etiquette, coughing into your sleeve, covering your cough with a tissue, and washing hands afterwards is really important to minimize the spread of this virus.
So it's being spread through air droplets, through sneezing and coughing and that type of thing, and then through hand-to-hand contact as well.
That's correct.
Like a common cold might be.
Very similar to common cold or flu. So high-touch surfaces that were contaminated.
Door handles,
tables, pens and pencils, shopping carts, they can spread, the infection can be spread.
So in general, all of the kinds of public health or infection control methods that we use for things like the common cold or flu, for that matter, should be put in place to help us protect against this virus as well.
Absolutely. The approach for handling this outbreak should be no different as for any other respiratory illness we've seen in past, such as flu.
Well, it gives us, it gives me a very confident feeling to know that, at least locally, we are poised and ready to help these children, and we do know what it is, and that we're advising people properly as to the best way to prevent it. I want to thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Yana Shaw. She's Associate Professor of Pediatrics, specializing in infectious diseases at the Upstate Golisano Children's Hospital. Once again, thanks so much.